time to awake from your sleep. Rise to a new day with each your soul to keep. Come, my children, time to awake from your sleep. Rise to a new day with each your soul to keep.
Hello and welcome to the Enlightened Medicine Show with Dr. Valerie Olmsted, the holographic physician. And as usual, you know, I have to get the business stuff out of the way. So first of all, let me explain that our show is brought to you by Hydramay Skin Nutrition. And I keep telling you guys, if you haven't tried it, you need to try it because your skin just soaks it up and it is wonderful, all natural, organic, and I love it. So thank you, Hydramay, for supporting the show. And one thing I wanted to mention really quick before we get into the meat of Hopi prophecy and all that kind of stuff. I was listening to a couple things this last week, and I was surprised and delighted to find out that 35 states so far have notified the federal government of their sovereignty. We are not talking secession, but there are quite a few states talking about sovereignty rights right now and putting the United States government on notice that it has practiced treason against the citizens of the United States and against each state. This is really interesting stuff. We truly live in interesting times. So if you don't know about this, and this is a shock, I suggest you get on to something like Alex Jones, prisonplanet.com. You can Google things like this. It's not being reported generally in the normal, quote-unquote, news. But this is important stuff. We need to all take a stand. And, you know, I was surprised to find out that the federal government has three duties, of which none of them is the federal government doing, and instead is clamping down more and more police states on us. Unacceptable. So, okay, I was so excited I had to announce that first. Now, let's get on to more fun stuff. My guest tonight is Ruben. And Ruben, I am sorry, I am horrible at last names sometimes. So would you please tell me how to pronounce your last name?
Sofki.
Sofki? Okay.
Yes.
Great. Welcome to the show, Ruben. And let me just tell the people a little bit, and then I'll launch into your explanation. You can tell everybody who you are. Listeners, you know that I've been going up to the Hopi Second Mesa to watch the buffalo dance and things like that in the last couple of weeks. It's been really amazing. And Ruben has kind of been our liaison up there. And Ruben is also liaison for the elders of the indigenous tribes that are meeting again in the spring here. So I'm going to let Ruben explain all that and talk about the Water Clan and what his duties are as a Water Clan member of the Hopi Nation. And, you know, hopefully he'll enlighten us as to the Hopi prophecies and what he sees going on in relation to that. So, okay, Ruben, it's all yours. Tell the people about yourself.
Lodma. Me Ruben Sifki Sr. Yan Matiwa. Me Patki Mama. First of all, what I said was greetings to all. My name is Ruben Sifki Sr. I am from the Water Clan of the village of Sungopave. And just the only way I introduce myself is exactly as that I come from the Water Clan, and that I am very honored and grateful to be who I am today and to be given this life. First of all, you know, I am a recovering alcoholic of almost 10 years. Come March 1st will be 10 years of my sobriety.
Congratulations.
We could quiet. Thank you. And it's my sobriety that has made me who I am today. And also I'm very grateful to the alcohol, that life. It has taught me so much. And today I've learned so much, and now because of that, I am a much better person, a better father, husband, and also a grandfather, and then I'm also a father. As I speak to you, there's my little baby daughter, Bhavanka, who was born on the 8th during the full moon, just before the lunar eclipse. So I know that is a very special time for her to be born. So as I speak to you, my heart is filled with a lot of gratitude for the life that I've been given and for all my children's life. And to be able to share this with all the people that are listening this evening.
Very nice. And I have to say that, you know, we have been delighted, some of my friends and I, Thunderbeat included. Thunderbeat was on the show last week. We have really appreciated being welcomed so nicely by you and your family and shown your ways and being allowed to watch the buffalo dance and the buffalo and deer dance. And it's just been amazing, such heart-opening experiences. And I wish that everybody would have the opportunity to do that at some point in their life, because it's so important to remember that, you know, we all came from nature, and to remember that connection. And you and I had talked quite a bit when we came up the first time about what's going on, you know, what is the journey of the Hopi people on the earth, and, you know, what's happening internally and externally. And you know, everybody that listens to BBS, you know, they're very much interested in the indigenous prophecies and in anything that they can find to kind of show them, you know, okay, we're here, we're there, you know, wherever. We're all looking for the path, you know, and even as we tread the path, we want to know if there's a better way. And so I think that you can enlighten us a little bit on that tonight. And so I'm very much looking forward to what you have to say about all that. But maybe first, if you would explain, what is the duty of the Hopi Water Clan?
Okay, well, my role and responsibility that, the way I got into being the messenger, and I've been using this for a short time now, I chose this name of H2OPI.
Mm-hmm.
From that, we did do a run from Hopi to Mexico City in 2006. And it was bringing water, all the sacred waters from different parts of the world. Our goal was Mexico City, where there was a fourth World Water Forum held there. And as a board member on the Black Mesa Trust, an organization out of grassroots people that were also bringing awareness to the people and throughout the world of how Peabody coal mine had come into our homeland just over 40 years ago and has extracted coal, and the way they were transporting it was with our most pristine drinking water, which is underneath us in an aquifer.
Mm-hmm.
And by taking so much coal out and transporting it, crushing it, which is slurried, and transporting it through our most pristine drinking water 274 miles away to Laughlin, Nevada, you know, it has very rapidly depleted our water system. Mm-hmm. So with this injustice that was happening to our homeland, which is, you know, the coal is basically the earth, and the water is our breath of life that we solely depend on. It's our only source of drinking water here on Hopi and on Black Mesa, which were the Navajos leave also.
Mm-hmm.
So what made this about was that this was the first time that the Navajo people and Hopi people came together to support one another to basically fight against Peabody, and with us living side by side for many years and also fighting over land, it was water that brought us together, a little bit closer together, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
And now, you know, the Peabody coal mine is on hold of mining any coal and transporting it with water. So we did win the battle in this case.
Good.
And And as of December 25th, 05, the pumping of the water has stopped. So we were successful in this battle, but we know that, you know, there will be a time again, which is coming soon, sadly to say, that Peabody is looking for another buyer to come in and start the whole operations for Life of Mine.
Mm.
So as of end of this year, December 20, right before Christmas, I believe on the 21st of 08, Office of Surface Mining had approved Peabody for its Life of Mine permit. So there is that another injustice being done to our land and our water and all the people that have fought so hard to stop the mining and stop the pumping of our most pristine drinking water.
Well,
so it's sad to say that this was done again all for money, basically. But, you know, when we did the run in 06, our main focus was to the Fourth World Water Forum, who mm-hmm. basically are large, rich corporations that come into the homeland mainly on the indigenous people's land, control the land by privatizing it, and selling it back to the people for water, looking at it only as a commodity to make money for themselves. So our message was simple to them, that water should be available to everybody throughout the world instead of being controlled and sold. Because even though we're all surrounded by water, the earth, there's just enough drinking water here available for us. So if the people that have these, that are part of these rich corporations that are controlling and privatizing it, I wonder if they know and at least have the common sense within their minds and hopefully, you know, touching their hearts at that time, that they need to have enough drinking water available for the future. So that was our main goal when we did the running. And it took us 16 days of running with 28 runners and one lone Navajo runner, which represent our two people coming together.
Mm.
So this run, which I coordinated also, what made a huge impact spiritually. Mm-hmm. And now people have gotten word of it. So, you know, this is another way that has helped me personally to mm-hmm. help spread the message of how important water is to each and every one of us throughout the world.
Absolutely. And didn't you do something with Dr. Emoto too, right?
Yes. Yes, well, Dr. Emoto was there when we did present the water to the indigenous people of Mexico City.
Mm-hmm.
And Emoto was present. As a matter of fact, he was standing right beside me, but when I started to hand out the water, the gourd of water that we carried all the way, almost 2,000 miles from our homeland, into our ancestral homeland, which, by the way, my clan, the Water Clan, migrated and ran, I mean, you know, went right through Mexico also too at that time, you know, thousands of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And Emoto was there, and at a precise time, he had the people through the internet say these three few words: water, we honor you; water, we respect you; water, we thank you. And he mentioned that, and it's on our documentary where he's in Spanish,
mm-hmm.
which was pretty cool, you know. And the very, very great spiritual feeling for me was that we took our message, instead of going to the Fourth World Water Forum, we went to Tlaloc, Tlaloc is the god of water that is standing outside the Anthropology Museum of Mexico City. So it was rightfully so that he was the one that received it on behalf of all the waters throughout the world and for all the people throughout the world. So Tlaloc is and was, you know, the original statue that was taken from Teotihuacan, the pyramids of just a little bit outside Mexico City and brought into Mexico City. So when we delivered the water to the four indigenous people, and at first we didn't know who was going to receive the water, but we come to find out and we delivered it to a lady by the name of Nora, who was unfortunately struck by lightning twice, but fortunately became a healer. So she was the rightful person to receive this sacred water. And it brings me to the point of the woman. As you mentioned, life coming from nature. Mm-hmm. We are all life given through by our birth from our mother through water. So women here on Hopi have the highest respect from us because you are the givers of life through water. Therefore, everything belongs to you, the land, the house, all the possessions. So that's what I wanted to at least share with the women that are listening on your show tonight, that you need to be very proud of yourself as being women. So I thank you for being the givers of life through water. Kokwai.
Wow. That's pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for doing that. You know, as you were talking about this, I was thinking about all of the ceremonies that I've taken part in over the years, different spiritual ceremonies, including the Women's Water Circle, Full Moon Water Circle I did for a while with a Cherokee sound medicine healer. And thinking about when I went to medical school, we had a ceremony where we combined all of the waters from all of the schools. And we had representatives from each one of the schools sent a sample of water and dumped it into a big bowl. And we put our water from Southwest Medical College, Naturopathic Medical School. We put that all in the bowl too. And we all prayed and blessed the water. And then we all took some with us. And it was such a powerful ceremony. You know, and I think if people would remember that, that could change their lives. Remember, we are all connected by water. And the quantum physicists are showing that actually that's how all of our psychic impressions work. It's not just through the space, it's actually through the water molecules that are in our cells and in between our cells. It's all water.
Yes. And that's a good point, because in Hopi, we believe that we are all clouds because we are all made out of water, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you brought up a good point, which showed me personally, even though we receive so much water from different parts of the world, when we put it into this one little gourd and also this pottery, it became one.
Mm-hmm.
And that was very simple, but very powerful to me. That's why I strongly encourage everyone that is coming to Hopi that whether or not that you come with, you know, different intentions, we all have different intentions and different perspective of looking at things. And especially if people from the outside that do come to Hopi, I would just encourage you that you look within yourself and remember that you are made out of water. Therefore, you are a cloud coming to Hopi. Whether there are ceremonies here, but specifically when ceremonies are here, you are coming as a cloud to the ceremony. So you bring your energy, your spirit from your heart for all of us to become one with whatever particular ceremony is going on at that time. And like I mentioned to you and the beautiful ladies that came, you are being your spirits, your hearts, your prayers for the ceremony. And that resonates back throughout the world. So I thank you, Valerie, for, you know, being here and, you know, bringing your spirit and your prayers for the ceremonies here. And one thing I know you did was you took a lot of that back with you to your home, right?
Yep, absolutely. And when we came up to see the ceremonies, I was struck by the sheer beauty of it, and there was a recognition within me. And the last time we were up there, I started crying the minute the dancers started coming up. More water.
Yeah.
And I couldn't stop crying. It was just so beautiful, and there was such a connection there. And we all felt it. And when we came back the first time, when we were coming back through Flagstaff and almost dropping down into the switchbacks, you know, in the canyon, we were paced by a UFO.
Whoa.
And yeah, Thunderbeat and I were excited. We're going, hey, look at that. There's a UFO that's like streaking along. And I said, man, that's really weird. It's like it's phasing right through the trees like they're not even there. And then I thought, well, of course, because they're not really there. And the thing just phased through them, and it sped up really quick so that we would know it was not a reflection and it was not, you know, something else. There was nothing on this planet that could move that quick.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were very, very happy to see that. And then we saw a big globe of some kind land in the canyon. And we were like, look at that, there's no lights there. And yet we see this big round globe kind of, you know, down by the water in the canyon.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't get to stop, but because we weren't driving. but our friend was going, I'm just going to let you off, and I'm just going to go home. And we were cracking up. We were teasing her. And we said, well, listen, you know, if they really needed us for something, they would just take us out of the car. That's not a problem for these guys.
Yeah.
And it was so fascinating because it all happened after that first time. So that was really a lot of fun. And I do keep a piece of those days that we spent up there. I keep a piece of that in my heart always. And I'm very happy to have you on the show so that people can feel your energy and, you know, can get a piece of that also. Because, you know, we have listeners all over the world. Not all of them can go to Hopi Land. But, you know, through hearing you on the radio, they can at least get a feeling for that. And if you would tell a little bit about the Hopi prophecies and what you guys see coming that we need to be prepared for. You know, what do we need to do? Because I know you mentioned that, you know, if you don't do this, this is going to happen. And so, you know, what is it that we all need to do besides coming together as one?
Well, I'll go off your story of, you know, you being a UFO when you were going back to Sedona.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the Mayas have had a direct connection with the star people.
Yes.
And the Mayans are the ones that are giving the blessings of this return of the ancestors gathering that's going to be held in April 18th through the 28th of this year, mainly happening and starting from Sedona area first. Mm-hmm. On the 25th and 26th specifically, they are coming to Hopi. And we know elders of old and our ancestors have foretold that someday there will be many people of great importance, spiritual people that will be coming here seeking advice, seeking encouragement, seeking unity for all of us to unite and to prepare as we move forward into the future, and that this will tell that we are very close to something change that is coming before us.
Mm-hmm.
So when this elders gathering was brought up by Don Alejandro Cirilio Perez Oxlai himself, the president of the Council of Mayas in Guatemala, we were very honored to assist him, myself and Adam Yellowbird, you know, Adam Yellowbird was the one that was trusted to organize this. I myself just am doing what is asked of me to help bring my Hopi elders and the leaders together to come and unite with our brothers and sisters from the south and the north, the east and west. So this is a very profound historical event that will happen here in Arizona. So I strongly believe that this is the prophecy that is coming for us to unite as one. It is now that we need to unite as one where the world is very chaotic as we see today, right?
Right.
And we see all these signs that are coming, you know, the Mother Earth, and now from above as the star people. And ironically, today I met another person from England that showed me a DVD that was done last year, or was shown last year from a doctor from Australia that went all the way to England in Glastonbury and was talking about the crop circles,
mm-hmm.
of how these crop circles are messages from the star people were fortunately to be decoded and were found out that they were aligned with the Maya prophecy.
Really?
One very important thing, I mean, not just one that I wanted to bring out, was that the Mayas had already knew 2,000 years ago that the star people were already living here. Mm-hmm. And some of your listeners, and I don't know if you are aware of Quetzalcoatl. You ever mm-hmm. heard of Quetzalcoatl?
Yes, absolutely.
Well, Quetzalcoatl says that, you know, the people have seemed to forgot that we were here 2,000 years ago already. But mm-hmm. we have not forgotten, so now we're reminding you that we will be coming back. So we have now seen people have seen a lot of the star people coming back to Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And I myself, you know, I've been personally fortunate in a way, but I'm trying to understand now, you know, that, you know, there have been people that were taken by the star people that have come to Hopi themselves personally. Mm-hmm. Three of them whom I've met, and it's very interesting and, in a way, scary, you know, when you don't understand of why mm-hmm. they're coming with messages that the time is getting near for them to come back. But also, you know, according to prophecies, you know, there are times of change that are happening
mm-hmm.
and are going to happen. And a lot of us throughout the world are looking at the year 2012 according to the Maya calendar.
Mm-hmm.
So when I personally sat down with Don Alejandro in Peru 2 years ago during dinner, what was interesting was that he was speaking to me in his language, and I was also talking to him in our language, and we understood each other through sign language also.
Mm.
And he mentioned that 2012 is not the end of the time, end of the world, as many people believe. Mm-hmm. He said, it is not. It's another shift of time in age when another shift in time ends. But we need to be prepared as much as we can to...
Hello? Hello? Uh-oh. I think we lost Reuben. Either that or we lost me. So we'll have to get... Whoops. I'm not sure who we lost there. I'll keep talking just in case. Okay. So I'm still on, apparently. Okay. So we'll get Reuben back. Shoot, this is like a cliffhanger. This is like... He couldn't have planned that any better, you know? That's pretty funny. So hopefully we'll get him back without any problems there. So one of the things that I wanted to bring Reuben on for tonight is because of the message. And, you know, the message was for the Hopi people, of course, but the Hopi people have considered themselves to be the caregivers of the world and have stayed by themselves in this, what we would call God-forsaken land. You look at it, it looks like there's nothing there as far as the eye can see. But they have stayed there, and they have really done an amazing job at keeping themselves separate from the rest of the world in order to preserve their peace. The Hopi are known as peaceful people. And one of the things Reuben had said to me was about how when chaos happens within the Hopi people, it spreads out and it happens within the whole world. And so this is one reason why I wanted to bring him on to, you know, kind of bring our worlds together so that we can all realize that each one of us is so important and maintaining peace within our hearts is so important. Because without that, we have nothing. We have to work together. And everything that I've seen lately has been all about that. We have been shown again and again that everything that we do now has to be as part of a team. Because what we can do together is so much greater than what any of us can do alone. And maybe it's because the age of Aquarius has dawned. I don't know. But I can tell you that I can feel it, and I'm sure many of you guys feel it too. So I don't know what else we're going to have to do to bring it together, but when I heard about the states demanding that the government, the federal government, recognizes their sovereignty, I went, "Hoo boy, it's happening." I was wondering how it was going to shake out, you know. Now I'm looking at this and going, wow, that's really what has to happen. And basically it's happening it's happening because all the power has been taken away from our Congress. So if you're wondering how it is that Obama got all these things passed, it was because Congress was threatened, actually threatened with martial law if they didn't sign the bill into law. And they didn't read it. They just signed it. They basically sold us out to the banks. And I'm not talking about the U.S. banks, I mean the world banks. This is serious stuff. This is a time of great crisis. I don't know what more it's going to take to get people to stand up and to say, enough, I'm not going to play this game this way anymore. And thank God there are people at the state level that are getting together and saying, no, we're not playing that game. You cannot take our money, tax us on it, charge us interest on it, and give it back to us as a loan. You can't do that. But that's what they're trying to do. So it's going to be really interesting to see what happens there. Oh, we're not getting any answer. I wonder if Reuben's phone went dead. Well, okay. Well, I guess I need to talk about more political stuff. For whatever reason, we lost Reuben. I'll have him back on again another time, though. And I think that possibly there's a couple things that could be happening there. One thing is that whenever you're trying to get the truth out to the masses, something happens, especially when you're using electronic means. But not to worry. We'll have him on again. And, you know, we'll get the rest of the story. And until then, we only have about 20 minutes left anyway. I'd like you to think about what's really going on. If you haven't looked at the news lately, which I don't, by the way, I get my news in other ways, but you need to find out what's really going on in the world. This whole movement into state sovereignty is extremely important because we are going to have to take back the Congress. We are going to have to take back our own governance. For instance, did you know that there are only three things that the U.S. government is charged with doing. One is to protect our borders, which it has not done. And if you look around, you can see, especially in Arizona, we have millions of illegal aliens who, by the way, are fully insured when most of the citizenry is not. And who's paying for that insurance? Take a good guess. There's a lot of injustice going on out there. They're also training the Marines and the police and the state National Guards units. They are training them to take away our guns. Now, if you do not have guns, or you're against guns, or that would be because you're afraid of them, or you know somebody that got hurt with a gun, all I can say is this is one of those things that is against what is in the Constitution. And I am pretty much apolitical, but I will tell you I am a constitutionalist. And I may not remember everything that's in there. I have to sit and look at it a lot of times. But I feel very strongly about being in a republic, and which, by the way, Texas is the only republic state that's left in the United States, in case you were unaware of that. I was shocked to find that out. And anyhow, we are supposed to be a republic. If you look at the Pledge of Allegiance, and for the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, and they're taking that out. They don't want people to say under God. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I got a problem with that, because we were founded on higher moral principles. Our country was founded on freedom. And all the people that came here did so for the opportunity to be free and to practice whatever religion they wanted to practice. And we are fairly tolerant in a lot of places, not every place here. There's still pockets of bigots everywhere. But if you look at the way our Republic of the United States of America was founded, it was all about freedom. And yet we have our federal government taking action against us day by day and being arrogant about it. And I was listening to an economist talking the other day, and she said, you know, with this latest bailout that they just signed into law, that they said was so desperate it had to be done right away, and nobody had a chance to read it because there was no time. And by the way, Obama did not sign that into law yet. He hasn't put his signature on it because he was going to go visit somebody in Chicago. So you can see how urgent it really was. Now, President Obama, like all the other presidents, is just a puppet. So, you know, and forgive me if you're a dyed-in-the-wool, maniacal Obama supporter. Let me state I'm not against the man. I think he's wonderful, too. But anybody that gets in the office of the President of the United States is there by the goodwill and the hands in the pockets and on the strings of the puppets of the rulers of the world. And if you don't know this, you need to start going and looking it up. You know, find some things. You know, look out there and find the truth. You're not going to find it in the media. They're all owned by the rulers. So you're going to have to keep your eyes and your ears open. This is serious stuff. And for those of you that are not in the United States, I got news for you. It's not just the United States. The whole world is going down. Now, I keep telling you guys, I try to stay out of the doom and gloom. And I try to let you know what's going on without getting you so depressed that you go into a fetal position. But there's no more time left. We have to act. Americans have to stand up and have to say, I am mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore. Just like in the movie. You know, we've got to do this. And it's got to spread. It's got to go around the world. People have got to stand up. And they've got to say, I refuse to allow these injustices to go on. And we can do it, especially in the U.S. You know, we have the Constitution that supports us. Even though the presidents for the last several years have done everything they could to get rid of our Constitution, and it's continuing, by the way, by all these little treaties and everything that they surreptitiously put in there, they basically tromped on our Constitution and ripped it up into little shreds. But we did not agree to that, and our Constitution stated that we, the people, have the power, not the government. And so what I have to say to you guys is look within your heart and find where you need to stand strong. And it can start with little groups. You know, and if you look at the way the United States was formed, it was not formed by a big army. The revolution started with little groups in coffee houses, or excuse me, tea houses. It formed in people's homes. It formed with people saying, we are standing for what our company was founded on, which is the great moral virtues, which is justice and freedom. And every American, if they don't know that, they better find it out. And if you don't act now, if you don't do something, if you don't stand up for your rights as a human being, then you become a slave. And I refuse to do that. So I'm hoping that you guys will refuse too. I'm hoping that you'll pull your heads out of the TV, if you're still watching that. That you pull yourselves up by your bootstraps, quit whining about how you're not making enough money. And, oh, why doesn't somebody do something? Because you know what? We can't pass the buck anymore. We're the ones we've been waiting for, spiritually, economically, mentally and emotionally. We are the ones. We have to do it. Us. Nobody else. Okay. Now I'm going to try to climb down off the soapbox, but but you know me, I might jump right back up there again. So if you want to call in, go ahead and call in, because we can't get a hold of Reuben again. Oh, wait a minute. He said he called back. Phone ran out of power, so he can't come back on tonight. All right, we'll get him on another night. And we got a cliffhanger. So Reuben says he still wants questions from the audience for later. So please email me your questions. You can either email them through the BBS radio site, or you can send them directly to me at dr.valerienmd@gmail.com. That's dr.valerienmd, as a naturopathic medical doctor, @gmail.com. And Reuben would be happy to answer your questions for the next time. And so that's given you an earful tonight and a lot of things to think about. For those of you that are in the U.S., we have to act now. Not only spiritually, you heard Reuben, we have to get together. All of us must be united. And I'll tell you what I've been told by the ETs or interdimensionals or angels or whatever you want to call them. And that is that we have to get together. If we do not get together voluntarily, if we do not stand up and be the change that we say we want, we will be forced into it. We will have more hardships thrown upon us than you could even imagine. If you think World War II was bad, think again. It'll be nothing compared to what's coming. So I'm asking you all, please, to wake up. Stand up on your own two feet. Do what's yours to do. And quit mucking around about it. We don't have any time left. Act now. And by act, I mean do it legally. Do it lawfully. Do it the way our country was set up. I'm not telling you to go out there and, you know, do insurrections. That would be, kind of the Mack truck answer to this. I'm saying go out there and make your voices be heard. Write to Congress. Write to the president. Form groups, neighborhood groups. One of the things that's happening in my area is that people are forming cash communities. They're making their own type of monetary system. And the reason they're doing that is they're basing it on people's services, so it's like a barter system. But you're actually, you know, exchanging, you know, slips of paper or whatever. But the reason they're doing that is because, you know, the Federal Reserve now owns the United States and is making the laws. Those are European bankers, people. They have nothing to do with the federal government. They have nothing to do with us. They are European bankers. You can call them Bilderbergers, Illuminati, whatever. Their plan, they are very patient, and they are very, very clever. Their plan has been coming together for years, hundreds if not thousands of years, and it's happening in our lifetime. So it's time for people to wise up, wake up, and get to it. And I got to tell you, if all of the billions of people in the U.S. stood up and said, oh, hell no, you are not going to do this to me or my family or my country, you know what? They would listen, because there's a lot more of us than there are of them. Why do you think they're trying to drug our food and our water? They want to make you all complacent little slaves. So it's time to wake up. And this is our time to act. If we don't act, it's all going to be over quickly. So see what it is that you can do. Make your voice heard. And I'm not talking about going to the voting booth. That does nothing. I'm talking about really making some noise. Let these people know that we will not lay down. We will not go quietly. And we will take our country back. And if you had any doubt, let me tell you, I choose freedom at any cost. And so it's very important that we do this step by step. There's a whole bunch of people out there that when they find out what's really going on are going to be really angry. Violence is not the answer. Okay? At least not at this point. We'll see what happens. For right now, let's do things legally, lawfully. Let's make our voices be heard. And I'm sorry to foist this on you, you know, so late at night, but this is important. And so we have a caller on the line. Scott?
Hi.
Are you on?
Yes. Yes, this is
Hi
Scott.
There.
I'm enjoying the show, Dr. Valerie. It is a cliffhanger.
Yes, it definitely is, isn't it? That was kind of weird the way that cut off right then.
Yes. And but, I wanted to add that I'm a Ron Paul fan, and I find his web page to be very helpful in getting getting another view of the world as he can provide.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, we kind of knew that he wasn't going to get in the presidency because he's working against the, you know, the guys that own the world.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? The man is smart. He's rational. And by the way, those two things don't always go together.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, you want smart, but you want him rational too.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, whatever we have to do, we've got to act.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I'm very metaphysical, and I do my own part in trying to, well, I don't try, in making things change.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what we all have to do. You know, we're all not going to be doing the same thing. But I got to tell you that if we don't make our voices heard, they won't be heard. They have, oh, by the way, I don't know if you all know this or not, but Halliburton not only received millions, multi-millions of dollar contracts to build prisons for us, but they have already built quite a few of them. So anybody who dissents from what's going to come up, there are prison camps all over the United States, and the military and the police have been trained not only to take away our guns, but also to herd us into these prisons. This is serious, folks. This is real damn serious. And if everybody sits by and doesn't do anything and says, oh, it's all in divine order, everything's fine, well, then you're going to get the experience of prison and slavery or death. So, scares the hell out of me, Scott, you know? And I don't know what people are going to do. You know, everybody's got a different role to play. This is mine. I'll get my voice out there. And I'll do whatever it's going to take to wake people up. I've already done as much as I could. And I continue to do it, to wake people up. Other people have got to organize groups. Other people that are legally smart, that are politically smart, all of you guys out there, you need to start organizing some groups. Get the people together. I don't know the first thing about doing that kind of stuff, but I do know about waking people up. And metaphysically, we have to decide that we will refuse to accept anything but the paradise that is coming, that this place was always meant to be. Metaphysically,
with the age of Aquarius upon us, I think, you know, with Aquarius and freedom and peace being the themes, it's all the more important.
Yes, it is. And that gives us a chance. And I don't know if you guys did any meditations on the time, but here it was about 25 minutes after midnight. Was the equivalent of the Greenwich time. And I sat and I put on Thunder Beach Chakra Journey. And it was really amazing. I could feel such a switch in my energy and really feel things moving and changing. And since then, it's been quite interesting too, because things around me are not working. You know, so far the computer's still working, which is a good thing. You know, that blink out could have been me, you know. And you know, I mean I've in the last couple of weeks I've had the stove burned itself out, the element turned into white hot metal, and I went, okay, that was interesting. The heater went out. I've had the lights go crazy. I mean, all kinds of stuff is going on. And you know, the physicists will tell you that that's because we're moving into a different portion of the galaxy where energy, as we know it, doesn't work. And they're scared because they don't know what's going to work. And so, you know, business as usual is about over, folks. You know, now we have to get prepared. And I think that part of our great preparation for 2012, at least as Americans, is to stand up and say, hell no. You know, we're taking our Constitution back. We're taking our government back, because the people that have been ruling us have shown that they do not deserve to rule us. They absolutely don't. And they've shown it again and again. And it all, I mean, it was so arrogant when they started all the bailouts and all that stuff. You know, when I was listening to The Economist, she said, you know, they could have taken this latest bailout and they could have paid off the mortgage of every person in the United States and had money left over. But instead, they gave it to corporations that are going out and partying with it. Now, how more arrogant can you get than that? Mm-hmm. What's it going to take, people? I don't know what else to do, you know? We just, you know, it can't be just a few people rabble-rousing, you know? We got to stand together. We got to lock arms, and we got to stand together as a force to be reckoned with. And it starts with these small neighborhood groups. It starts with all these metaphysical people realizing that they've been duped about a lot of things, and that we are what we're waiting for. And so it's time to wake up, and it's time to do what we came to do. So many of us were advanced guard of the indigos and crystals. So many of us. And we had hard lives because of it.
Mm-hmm.
But we've kicked down the doors, and we've opened the pathways for the indigos and the crystals and now the magentas to come. But we can't stop yet. We still need to kick down some more doors, grab some of these suckers by the throat, you know, and make them listen, because they've become drunk with power. And it's our money that's fueling them. So, I don't know. We'll see what happens, Scott, but hopefully enough people will wake up.
Thank you, Dr. Valerie. I'm wide awake, and it's almost midnight where I am, so.
And now you probably won't sleep all night thinking about this stuff. Sorry about that, Scott.
It's okay. I'm glad to. No, we need to have nights like this.
Yeah, we do. We may be having some more of them. I mean, I didn't start this show to be political. I've always been apolitical, but boy, even this is getting even me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, hell no, I'm not going to be quiet now. I'm going to get a lot louder, you know. Something's got to happen. People, I don't know how much more people need to get kicked in the butt and knocked upside the head. How much more is it going to take? I mean, what's going on is so blatant and so arrogant. And if you look at the kids and the grandkids of the major families that own the world, they are openly arrogant. They have eugenics programs to kill off 2/3 of the world's population. They've poisoned our air, our water, and our food. People, what is it going to take? I just don't know what else to say. Which is kind of a rare occurrence, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, thank you for calling in, Scott. I appreciate your call.
Have a good night.
You too. Good night. Okay. If there's anybody else that wants to throw in their 2 cents, do it quick, or we will be off the air soon. So we are a little bit past our time right now. So, sorry that we lost Reuben there, but I'll have him back on another show, and we'll find out. You know, stay tuned. Same bat time, same bat station. Stay tuned, and we'll see when we can get Reuben back on and find out the mystery.
Hello, Valerie.
So we have. Hello there.
This is Reuben.
Hey, Reuben, you're back. All right. People don't have to wait then.
Yes, what happened was my phone is not charged. It's very interesting because, you know, it's been charged all day right at that time when I was just not getting into the message that Don Alejandro was giving me, and then it went off. So I'm a little shocked that this is happening.
Well, as I was telling the listeners, you know, that kind of stuff happens. So
yes.
So please do continue. Continue with the message.
Well, I don't know how long it'll go with the battery so low. So what basically this gathering is about the return of the ancestors. And according to the Mayan calendar, this day was set aside for the time when the ancestors will return. So whoever shall come will bring your ancestors within your blood, because it's all within our blood, right? Our ancestors.
Mm-hmm.
We're carrying them within our hearts, on our backs, and all coming to meet together with this time according to the Mayan calendar and the prophecy. So, you know, this gathering is of huge, great importance for all humanity. We know that whatever is before us in 2012, and beyond, we need to be as prepared as much as we can to face the inevitable.
Mm-hmm.
So, my my perspective on this personally is that I have a lot of hope and faith that we can unite to become one, but that's easier said than done, because with any great importance that, you know, there's always challenges.
Mm-hmm.
And the greatest challenge is just basically within ourselves. And earlier I had the, I had called in to the show earlier, before this and around 7, which I thought, but they were talking about ego.
Mm-hmm.
You know, ego we all have within ourselves, and myself personally, I had to look at my own ego and pride and set that aside and just follow my heart. Follow
yes.
my heart, but also remembering what our ancestors, our elders of old, our elders of today and our leaders, what we've been praying, philosophizing, mm-hmm. and speaking out to the world about what's going to happen. We've seen a lot of the things that have happened, you know, that have happened drastically throughout the world, the earth, you know, and we're the main cause of it. So my perspective of this, us becoming one again and balance again, is to ask for forgiveness within ourselves first, and have the compassion for others so that we can be forgiven and we can all heal together as one. Because that's what happened to me when I first spoke of myself as a recovering alcoholic. It's my personal experience that I had to do to become a better person today. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, if I can wake up, anybody else can wake up from any dysfunction, any sickness within their lives. And by all of us coming together, as much of us that can possibly come together, we can become much more stronger, working together, looking forward as to what's going to happen, you know, on our journey. If it is 2012 and beyond, then we need to start preparing now. So that's the main point of this gathering,
mm-hmm.
but I know there's a lot more that's to this gathering, but that's what I wanted to kind of point out first. But I know there's a lot of listeners out there that probably have questions. So, you know, I want to just keep that open for now. So it's back to you and the listeners.
Okay, so if anybody has any questions for Reuben, please do call us immediately. And you should have your call-in numbers there on the BBS screen. And let me pull up my screen. I'll tell you what they are real quick. For Station 2, toll-free is 888-389-3452 or 877-489-6350 or 530-776-5154. That's the direct line. So if you have any questions that you would like to ask Reuben, please do call in. And we are over time a little bit, but I think that we have nobody after us, so we can go on a little bit longer. So please do ask your questions, or if you're on fast chat and you have a question, then pop that in there, and I will let Reuben know what the question is, and we'll see where we can go with this. Now, go ahead.
Oh, rather than questions, what about answers?
I got a lot of answers. I don't know if they'd be the right ones for people's questions, but I have plenty of answers.
Yeah,
and
when it went off the air, I'm like, whoa, well, that was shocking and interesting. I said, maybe I'm not supposed to talk about this. Maybe the aliens had something to do with this, the star people.
Well, it
and
was
who knows,
pretty weird.
They probably
that
do, stuff. You know.
Well, yeah, and normally they drain batteries, you know, when they come
yeah.
around. So that could be it. I was just telling the listeners, I've gone through all kinds of weird electrical stuff this last week or so.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, with me, it's like, it's not that unusual, because when my healing energies ramp up, then I kind of blow out batteries and all kinds of stuff. So I really didn't think too much of it, you know, until it kind of like escalated. And then I went, that was odd.
Yeah, so, yeah, you know, it kind of shocked me. I'm like, wow. So I'm like thinking, you know, over here as I'm trying to have it charged a little bit, you know, maybe I'm not supposed to say anything, but, you know, I can only touch on a few, you know. There's a whole lot, but myself, you know, I don't understand fully, so I can only share what I know, you know.
Mm-hmm. So, well, let me ask you this. You know, with all the stuff that's going on in the U.S. right now, which is what I was talking about while you were off the air, with all that stuff that's happening, with states taking their sovereignty back and refusing to cooperate with the U.S. government and with the Federal Reserve Bank and all this kind of stuff, is there anything in the Hopi prophecy that predicted that kind of stuff?
Yes, you know, and Don Alejandro said it best, because the Maya and the Hopi prophecy, the philosophy is parallel.
Mm-hmm.
And in Hopi, our elders of old have said there will be a time when money will be of no importance. You know, the economy will fail as we're looking at it right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, there'll be many hardships that we will need to endure, and the best way we're going to endure all these things that are happening is that we have to go back to the earth, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are connected with the earth, farming, you know, living sustainably, you know, you will be the one to endure things, and we will come out at the end. So never forget, you know, what you were taught. Never forget who you are. And, you know, stay close to your heart. And, you know, that's very simple, but it's very hard also, too.
Yeah. Especially when people in the modern world kind of get distracted by, you know, just trying to make a living.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, even in Sedona here, you know, people think that everybody in Sedona is aware. Trust me, they're not. And,
yeah.
And they look at me askance a lot of times. And I get horrified sometimes by what they don't know. And I just, you know, I get very frustrated, because I go to people's homes, and they don't even have enough food stores for a week.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them don't even have enough food for a day. They go to the store every day. Now, that seems like insanity to me, because, first of all, I don't want to be in the store every day. And, secondly, what if something happened?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I was taught differently. And so I see that kind of behavior, and I go, man, you know, and I know they're not storing any water. But, you know, they don't realize an earthquake would disrupt all of your water. And there's more and more earthquakes happening right now. You know, we've got not only the volcano in Japan that went off, but, you know, the one in Alaska, and I don't know what's happened lately. But, you know, I remember Gordon Michael Scallion years ago, you know, predicting that when the Ring of Fire starts going off, then you got like 6 months till this happens and 6 months till that happens, and, you know, major earth cataclysms and things. And so, you know, when you've heard that kind of stuff through the years, you wonder, what the hell's the matter with people? Why are they not storing up food? Why are they not storing water? Why are they not storing pet food, you know? You know, I mean, what are you going to do for your little buddy companions? Unless you're planning on eating them, and personally, I couldn't do that. But that would be, you know, total cannibalism. So I look at this kind of stuff, and I look at history. And you know what they say, you know, those that do not know their history are doomed to repeat it. And it really is true. You know, and I look back upon the human race and about how we were first made upon this planet. And we were vegetarians. You know, we ate of the land and we ate some fish. I don't think we really, you know, ate a whole lot of meat until, you know, sometime later. But then when people started eating meat, and then when the cataclysms occurred, then they started eating each other. And I think a lot of people are unaware of the vampire nature that humans have gone through.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a very dark time, but it was when there was no vegetation on the earth and all the animals had been eaten. And so they drank each other's blood and ate each other's flesh. And, you know, I look at stuff like that and I think in this day and age, when we have food that we can preserve, we have ways to keep food for 10 years, why are people not doing this? You know, why are they so blind that they think nothing is ever going to happen? And, you know, same thing with the political arena. I mean, it's just so many things coming together right now. And, you know, there's this vague unease that's running through all of humanity because of our water being connected. And so we are connected with people that are already suffering and will suffer more. And we're also connected with the evil ones that want to destroy us.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, people are always asking me, well, I don't know what it is, but I just don't feel good. I feel depressed, you know. I feel anxious. You know, they're feeling fear. And I keep telling him, you know, call in Archangel Michael, you know, wipe out the negative energies. And, you know, that's all you need to do, because if it's not your fear, then why would you hold it? Why would you put that in the water within yourself that connects with the water with everybody? But, you know, these are things that they're trying to do to us. You know, they fear monger because it serves their purpose. And, you know, I know the Hopi saw this coming a long time ago. I've read a lot of the Hopi prophecy as well as, you know, a lot of the other indigenous people's prophecies. And they all talk about this time, and they're very similar.
And you know, that say on my people also too, because, you know, even though we are named Hopi, you know, a lot of us have become Kahopi, which is totally the opposite of Hopi. You know, Hopi basically means a way of life living in balance and in harmony with one another here on Mother Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, you know, a lot of the people are not aware of what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sad to say, but, you know, I have the faith and hope that this gathering will bring an awakening, encouraging people to not forget who we've become. Like I was mm-hmm. saying earlier, you know, even the star people said, you know, we haven't forgotten. You seem to have forgotten, so, you know, they're giving us all these signs. And then that DVD I saw earlier, it just opened my mind a lot more, my heart, and it gave me a little bit more clarity of what's in store for us, you know. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, we just need to put away our differences, our egos, our pride, and come together as one if we're ever going to achieve balance and harmony again. And when I say that, I specifically speak about my people here. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, it is challenging to say this to my elders and the leaders as a young person myself, but, you know, I am very grateful that I woke up, and, you know, I'm benefiting so many ways with my family. So that's just what I want for everyone, to wake up and start getting along with one another. Because if we don't, we pass this sickness of the animosity.
Mm-hmm. Ruben? Yep, but we lost him again. Well, what Ruben's saying is true. And I would add to that we have to get these people who are behaving like spoiled little brats and behaving inappropriately, we've got to get them out of the position of being in charge. You know, it's never good to have the lunatics running the asylum. So it's up to us to change that. So, all right. Well, that's been kind of an interesting show for me, too. Thank you for tuning in. And next week, let's see, next week is when? It's the 17th. It's not next week, but I think on the, or no, yeah, next week I think we have Matthew Stein on, and we're going to be talking about his book, When Technology Fails. And so it'll be more doom and gloom, but with answers, solutions, It's really a fascinating book, so I think you guys will really love that. Tells you what to do. You know, just what I've been talking about, be prepared. If you weren't taught how to be prepared in disasters, then you need something. You know, I can't emphasize enough, you know, how many times that I was in California. We had big storms in Northern California. I mean, hurricane force winds used to come every winter. And, you know, small animals disappeared if they were outside, and straws would get driven through tree trunks and things like that. And, you know, people don't remember how violent those storms were then. But I remember. And I can tell you that the power would go out sometimes for days, and people didn't know what to do. They couldn't cook their food. They didn't know how to stay warm. They were scared sitting in the dark. And it used to just crack me up. People would come running up to me and bang on my door. Oh, how come you can cook your food? How come you're the only one in the whole area with lights on? And I just look at them like, what, are you crazy? I'm cooking my food because I have a hibachi grill, you know. It's outside. I have charcoal. You could use wood, you know. I had a big pot on with water that was hot. I made coffee for people and tea and cocoa. And, you know, I cooked some of their dinners. And I had light in my place because I had candles. And I had a lot of those uncandles, you know, where you put about a quarter of an inch of vegetable oil on water, and you float the little plastic disc with a little wick in it. They worked marvelously. And I put mirrors behind them. I had enough light to read by. I was comfortable. I was warm. You know, no problem. But these people had no clue. They had no batteries. They had no candles. You know, and I just kind of scratched my head and said, what the heck's wrong with these people? And you know what? It's worse now. So many people are so woefully unprepared. So, you know, my message to you is not that, oh, no, it's going to be terrible. You know, there's going to be great cataclysms. Everybody's going to die. Everybody's going to be without stuff. No, it's not that. It's just be prepared. You know, think about being a Boy Scout or a Girl Scout. Be prepared. That's it. You know, if you are on medication, make sure you have a couple months ahead, if you can, or something that will substitute for that. You know, make sure you have, you know, adequate clothes, warm clothes, packed in a backpack if you have to bug out somewhere. You know, little things like that. Just be prepared, because the government is not going to save you. And I'm not talking just about the U.S. I'm talking about any government. They can't. You know, if you look at all the disasters that happened, like in Japan when they had the big earthquake in Kobe, you know, a lot of the rescue workers died in the quake. A lot of them took their families and got the hell out of town. So what are you going to do? You know, it's us, people. We are the ones we've been waiting for. Anyway, enough of that. So until next week, and sorry if you have to stay up a little bit later now because I got you all riled up. Sorry about that, but you need to know. So, you know, figure out what you're going to do in your life, and then you'll be able to sleep, okay? So until next week, be happy, be healthy, and be who you really are. Nighty night, and thank you to Hydramay Skin Nutrition for being the sponsor of our show. Night all.
Children, time to awake from your sleep. Rise to a new day with each your soul to keep. Come, my children, time to awake from your sleep. Rise to a new day with each your soul to keep. your sleep. Rise to a new day with each your soul to keep. And awaken, awaken, awaken the dream. Awaken, awaken, awaken the dream. Awaken, awaken, awaken the dream. Awaken, awaken, awaken the dream.
Do-do-do.